Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowan Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on a snowy Monday morning, where just about all the local schools are closed, and the snow continues to fall. It'll taper off later in the afternoon, but we'll have all the snow-related news. We've got non-snow-related news. We've got all sorts of weather and other information. We're also going to hear excerpts from performances at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill this weekend. Columbia County jazz drummer Bobby Previtt performed on Friday night, and the Hudson Valley psychedelic group Ultram performed on Saturday night. We'll hear excerpts of both of those performances that had live web streams on the air over the weekend and live broadcasts on 90.7 FM. We'll also hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next after Jason Martin from Troy finishes singing this song from the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Composer Wang Lu was inspired by her childhood memory of music played in a remote mountain town. And we'll hear her raucous orchestral homage on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Sound Prince and Christina Vansu. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here are the WGXC headlines for Monday, January 23rd. The Department of Justice investigators discovered more classified documents at President Joe Biden's home over the weekend, or it was announced over the weekend. There were 10 dead from a California mass shooter who took his own life. A new Siena College poll released this morning finds a majority of New York voters approve of the job of Governor Kathy Hochul right now. The leader of Republicans in the New York State Senate wants Governor Kathy Hochul to sue to get her nominee a vote on the Senate floor after a committee led by Democrats voted down the nomination last week. Hochul has said she is considering suing the legislature for the vote. The CDC has changed the community level of COVID-19 to low in both Greene and Columbia counties. Albany and Rensselaer counties continue to be labeled high, and Ulster and Dutchess counties are considered medium. Over the weekend, the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Cincinnati Bengals all won their playoff games and face each other next weekend to see who goes to the Super Bowl. And on January 19th, Charles Tolmy of Palinville finished second on the television show Wheel of Fortune, winning $19,500 in cash and prizes, including a trip to Egypt. And if you are parents, you know by now that all the local schools in Greene and Columbia counties, Rensselaer and Albany counties, are closed. Some of them started off announcing two-hour delays, but almost all local schools are now closed as the snow continues to fall.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Kenneth C. Crow II reports for the Times Union that jury selection begins January 23rd in the criminal trial of Republican Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin. The case is being prosecuted by the Public Integrity Bureau for the State Attorney General's Office. McLaughlin's defense attorney is Benjamin W. Hill of Albany, who was part of the defense team for former State Senate Majority Leader Joseph L. Bruno, who was acquitted of federal corruption charges. McLaughlin will plead not guilty to the state felony charges arising from the alleged misuse of campaign funds. McLaughlin said on January 19th, and I quote, "Despite the constant attacks, we are ready to go. I am 100% innocent. This is a persecution much more than a prosecution. There is no case here, and a first-year law student could see that. So we're ready, and it's going to be just fine," end quote. McLaughlin declined to comment when asked if he was offered a plea deal to resolve the case and if he plans to testify at trial. The charges against a former state assembly member arose from his use of campaign funds during his first successful campaign for county executive in 2017. He is accused of stealing $5,000 in funds from his campaign account on November 21, 2017, and falsely reporting the expense in campaign documents filed with the State Board of Elections. McLaughlin's trial begins as unrelated state and federal investigations of ballot fraud have already resulted in guilty pleas in U.S. District Court from two local GOP officials. Less than 2 weeks earlier, former County Republican Elections Commissioner Jason T. Schofield pleaded guilty to federal charges and admitted to fraudulently obtaining and filing absentee ballots using the personal information of at least 8 voters without their permission. He pleaded guilty 7 months after former Troy Council member Kim Ash McPherson pleaded guilty to similar federal charges. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Raymond Pignon is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Ryan Carty announced last week he is running for Columbia County District Attorney shortly after his current boss, D.A. Paul Chica, said he would not pursue a sixth term. Republican Carty, 33, has been with the DA's office since 2015 and was elevated to Deputy Chief District Attorney in 2020. He is looking to secure the GOP and conservative lines on the ballot. Chica endorsed Carty as his successor and called him, and I quote, "an outstanding prosecutor," end quote. Carty said on January 20th that he will seek the job, pledging to keep public safety his primary focus. He said, and I quote, "public safety will be my number one priority, as it has been during the tenure of District Attorney Chica. The community expects the District Attorney's office will always be there to protect all of its citizens, including the most vulnerable," end quote. Carty was born and raised in Columbia County and is a graduate of Ichabod Crane High School. He is a graduate of Syracuse University and received his law degree from Albany Law School. In his spare time, he coaches youth volleyball for the Legion Volleyball Club. Columbia County Republican Party Chairman Gregory Finger said last week he expects more people to come forward and announce their candidacies. He said the party caucuses to be held later this year will determine who gets the nomination. Columbia County Democratic Party Chairman Sam Hodge said his committee is actively looking for candidates and intends to, and I quote, "vigorously contest this race," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting regional online source. Mid-Hudson News has been purchased by former state senator and lifelong Orange County resident Mike Martucci. Martucci was the founder of Quality Bus Service, a school bus business that became the county's largest school bus operator. The business was sold in 2018. In addition to his role as owner, Martucci will serve day-to-day as the publisher of Mid-Hudson News. MidHudsonNews.com reports 500,000 unique readers monthly. Martucci said, and I quote, "of all the investments I have made during my business career, this is one I am most excited about. During my time in Albany, I saw how critical it is to keep the public informed in a fair and honest manner, No other news outlet has done that more consistently or closer to home than Mid-Hudson News, end quote. In 2020, Republican Martucci ran for the 42nd Senate seat against incumbent Democrat Jen Metzger. Martucci narrowly defeated Metzger in the general election. During the time he served, Martucci put forward in 2022 an amendment to end school mask mandates, but the bill failed. Martucci later announced he would not seek re-election to a second term. Mid-Hudson News was founded by regional journalist Hank Gross in January 2000. Gross will remain with the site as the publication's editor. Martucci plans to, and I quote, modernize and transform the operations, end quote, and considering the expansion of its footprint and coverage and developing new products and features such as podcast and live news. Martucci has already established new offices in the city of Poughkeepsie and the village of Maybrook. The amount Martucci paid for the outlet and when the acquisition was finalized was not disclosed. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The right of every woman in every state in this country to make decisions about her own body is on the line. And I've said it before, and I will say it again, how dare they?
In Tallahassee, Florida, Vice President Kamala Harris marked the 50th anniversary of Roe v. Wade yesterday by announcing an administration move to ensure access to abortion pills. The bills have been under a legal cloud in some states. And Harris says now that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe, the right is not a sure thing in any part of the country. Anti-abortion activists gathered on Friday in D.C. for the annual March for Life, the first since the court overturned federal abortion access protections. Organization President Gianne Mancini said their work isn't over. And now that the question has moved to the states, they'll push for more restrictions at every level.
While this year marks our most significant victory, the human rights abuse of abortion is far from over.
California Representative Judy Chu is calling on investigators to determine if the Monterey Park shooting that left 10 dead was a hate crime.
It is horrible that such a thing could occur at a time of celebration for so many in the AAPI community and in the Asian community worldwide. This tore a hole through all of our hearts.
The shooting followed a day full of Lunar New Year celebrations. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing to ban COVID health measures, vaccine mandates, and mask requirements at schools and businesses, including rules for employees. DeSantis has also moved to block the teaching of AP African American Studies. That drew fire from White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, who cited the state's so-called Don't Say Gay law.
These types of actions aren't new. They are not new from what we're seeing, especially from Florida, sadly. Florida currently bans teachers from talking about who they are and who they love.
The House of Representatives has reached agreement on the typically state issue of committee ratios and assignments. The new speaker did announce last week that controversial Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia and Paul Gosar of Arizona would regain the assignments they lost for backing the January 6th rioters. While addressing a bipartisan group of mayors at the White House, President Joe Biden said he will hold talks with Republican leaders on the national debt standoff.
The debt we're paying on, and we're going to have a little discussion about that with the new majority leader of the House, has accumulated over 200 years.
More classified documents have been found at President Biden's Delaware home. The classified documents range from his time in the Senate to his time as vice president. Finally, the federal government has seized close to $700 million in assets from FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. He has been accused of stealing billions from customers of the now bankrupt cryptocurrency giant. I'm Alex Gonzalez, her Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, January 23rd. We are 5.2% of the way through the year. We have 56 days left until spring. That means only 8 short weeks until we start putting plants outside. local, early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Medusa and Tannersville to 34 in Ankrum. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. Local snow reports are in. 1.1 inches in Housatonic Center, Massachusetts. 1.2 inches in Catskill. 2 inches in Halcott Center. 3.5 registered in Albany. As of early this morning, it looks like an inch and a half of snow could accumulate through the day, then turn to rain by 3 p.m. when we get a high of 37 degrees. Up in the hills, there shouldn't be a change in precipitation, and they will end up with another 4 inches of snow today. Overnight, things dry up and we get a low of 28. Tomorrow, still dry, high of 40 at 2 p.m. Overnight, we dip to 22 degrees. Low enough to set up a few inches of snowfall on Wednesday. We get a high of 35. Thursday, snow ends as rain and we have a high of 38. Sunset today will be at 4:43 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:12 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10% and C-class flare chances are at 55, but frankly, they're not as fun. Solar wind speed is currently 526.9 kilometers per second at 11.01 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 5 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.3 quiet. The current sunspot number is 166. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Hi, everybody. This is Timmy Whippoorwill calling to you live from inside the oak tree. Please give what you can to wgxc.org/donate. Check it out. Their webpage is live. It's fresh. It's exciting and new. Even us here in the Whippoorwill community approve of such a place. WGXC is here for you, so why don't you be there for them.
This weekend, there were two live broadcasts from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on WGXC 90.7 FM. Jazz drummer from Columbia County, Bobby Previtt, performed on Friday night, and the Hudson Valley experimental psychedelic group Altram performed on Saturday night. First, let's listen to an excerpt of Bobby Previtt's performance on Friday night at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Thank you. That was Columbia County-based drummer Bobby Previtt, an excerpt of his performance Friday night at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Now let's listen to an excerpt from Saturday night from Ultram, the Hudson Valley-based psychedelic group performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Thank you.
next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined by Ann Rabe, who is the Environmental Policy Director of NYPIRD, the New York Public Interest Research Group. And on Tuesday, January 24th, groups that are interested in ending fossil fuels in buildings is holding a lobby day and rally. So, Anne, what is this particular event about?
This event is called the Kick Fossil Fuels Out of Buildings Advocacy Day, and it's all about passing three critical climate reform bills, the All-Electric Building Act to electrify new buildings starting in 2024, the Home Energy Affordable Transition Act, and the Energy Efficiency, Equity, and Jobs Act, as well as budget proposals for low and moderate income families.
Now, in the Times Union recently, I saw a big pig hanging out there in the well legislative office building. I have a suspicion it's done by my old friend Gene Stilt. But how does the big pig tie in to fossil fuels out of buildings?
The big pig, which represents the fossil fuel industry, the big oil and gas companies, the big pig is sort of the mascot for the Make Polluters Pay Climate Superfund Act, which is another very important bill to implement the policy bills I just spoke about on having electric buildings in the future and transitioning off of the fossil fuel industry for the building sector. So the big pig is basically represents that bill, which would generate $3 billion a year by charging those big oil and gas companies for their past greenhouse gas emissions, a fee that goes into this climate superfund.
So we'll get back to getting fossil fuels out of buildings. Now, the All Electric Building Act had a lot of movement last session. A lot of it seemed to be over 2024 versus 2025 in terms of a timeline to ban fossil fuels, gas, and new buildings. Where does the governor and also this new plan that the so-called Climate Action Council put together, where do they stand on some of these issues related to getting fossil fuels out of buildings?
Well, we could commend the governor for including the All-Electric Building Act proposal in her State of the State and apparently going to be in her budget, which comes out February 1st or so. But there's a problem in terms of delay and weakening the scope. So the Climate Action Council, under pressure from the state agencies, punted from 2024 start date to a year later, 2025, to have all new buildings that are constructed be all electric, with the excuse of some, you know, some international code. They had, it was delayed, so they have to delay. There's no substance to that. And the governor has put that in her State of the State as well. According to Bob Howarth, an eminent Cornell University scientist on the Climate Action Council, it is critical that we start as soon as possible to electrify all new buildings. That's the cheapest time is to build a building when it's a build a building to be all electric, not to retrofit down the road. That's very expensive. And so 2024 is what we are advocating for, and we are going to be pressuring the governor to turn around and go back to 2024, which is needed, and cover all low-rise buildings, which is buildings seven floors or under. So the Assembly and Senate sponsors introduced bills just last week that would require a 2024 start date and all low-rise buildings be electrified.
Now, I understand there are about 40 to 50,000 new buildings constructed each year in New York State, maybe 5 million existing buildings. What are we doing to help particularly low and moderate income people, like people living in the South End or Arbor Hill or Central North Troy? What needs to happen to enable them to join this clean energy transition?
Two things. One is we need to pass a Home Energy Affordable Transition Act, which would require the Public Service Commission to work with all the utilities in New York State to come up with a decarbonization plan and fast track that so that utilities are basically going transitioning to renewable energy. And secondly is we need to be working with the New York State Energy Research Development Authority, NYSERDA, so that their various financial assistance programs for low and moderate income families are basically going to allow those families to include deferred maintenance, dealing with toxic and mold problems, dealing with asbestos problems, because those housing repairs and improvements are part of what you do when you energy efficientize a house and when you go all electric. You need to do those by law as part of the overall energy assessment and retrofitting. So the Green Affordable Pre-Election Gap Fund is what our groups are proposing during the lobby day next Tuesday, to provide funding, to open up NYSERDA's funds to go to low and moderate income families so they can totally retrofit their homes in terms of toxic contamination problems like mold, and in terms of getting them on all electric and getting them to have good energy efficiency, which will save them tremendous amount of money in their utility costs in years ahead.
Now, one of the groups I work with is the Affordable Housing Partnership down there in Sheridan Hollow. And, you know, they make the point that one of the problems they find is that, yes, we can, you know, get some money to put insulation into the walls, but often the roofs of these buildings are just not at all good. And that the contractors will say, we can do this energy efficiency stuff, but if the heat's going out, you know, you need a whole build and rebuild. Is the state considering moving into a more holistic approach and coordinating these programs a lot better, you know, getting out of this sort of silo approach we often have with government programs?
I would say that NYSERDA is looking into that, and they're listening to a lot of climate advocacy groups and housing groups that are advocating for that, Mark. But I don't think Governor Hochul is there at all, and that's the reason for our lobby day on Tuesday.
So you had this lobby day on Tuesday. I understand there's going to be a rally at noon at the so-called million-dollar staircase, I think third or fourth floor, west side of the state capitol. How can people participate in this lobby day if they're so inclined?
We would love for people to come between 9 and 11 to the Legislative Office Building on State Street. We're going to have lots of lobby day packets and bill memos and information for them, and they can join some meetings with legislators in the Capitol District from 9 to 11. And then we head over to, and there's free lunch boxes, and then at 11:30 to head over to the State Capitol, third floor, million-dollar staircase, for an hour-long rally where we're going to hear from a lot of legislative sponsors of these great climate reform bills. And then from 1 to 3, again, meeting with more legislators. So we urge people to contact us. They can contact me at 518-560-1849 if they want to register for all or part of that lobby day next Tuesday.
How do individual, you know, Capitol District legislators stand on some of the issues that people are going to be promoting on Tuesday? Is it purely a Democrat versus Republican divide, which is certainly what we heard at the Senate hearing this week on the climate law implementation? Or are there some nuances among where legislators stand? In a minute.
Some nuances. I mean, Assemblymember Fahey and Phil Steck, you know, are climate champions. Others are, you know, getting up to speed. But we're blessed in the Capitol District with having, you know, a good cluster of assembly and senators who are good on climate reform. But, you know, climate can't wait. We need them all to be champions this session.
We've been talking with Anne Rabe, the Environmental Policy Director of NYPERG. I know it's NYPERG.org. For NYPERG, if people want to find out about the lobby day, is there a website they can check it out?
Renewable Heat Now. Renewable Heat Now, New York.
Yeah. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
sang for me in falsetto. Lullabies with sincerity I thank her for her integrity. My ancestress clock is ticking, her once vibrant rebellion is fading. I am her hope keeper, a sure hope is there at all times. My ancestress has left all manners, her pulsating skin rebelling the doctors she despised, placed a pacemaker
by now we share.
From the 2022 album Fossera, this is Ancestress from Bjork and Sindre Eldin. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start the Renewable Weather Forecast for Monday, January 23rd with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.35 a gallon, according to the Gas Buddy website. At the air quality forecast is just a 27. That's on the low side, as is the UV index, which is just a 1 on Monday. The water temperature in the Hudson River is just almost exactly at 38 degrees right now. And over the last 10 years on January 23rd, the Hudson River in Albany has averaged 37.55 degrees. So it is slightly warmer than usual, about a half a degree. National Weather Service has a winter storm warning on Monday through 1 p.m. They predict snow mainly before 2 p.m., with a high of just 34 today and a northwest wind 10 to 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Total daytime snow accumulation could be anywhere from 3 to 7. Again, on the mountaintop, it will be higher. In the valleys, there will be less. Tonight, the forecast is for mostly cloudy skies with a low around 25, with a northwest wind 11 to 18 miles per hour with gusts as high as 31 miles per hour for those windmills. Tuesday should be cloudy with a high of 34, a west wind 10 to 14 miles per hour, and a low around 20. Then snow is in the forecast again on Wednesday, mainly after 1 p.m., with a high of 31 and a wind from the southeast at 9 to 14 miles per hour, and a low around 27, and more snow and then rain, turning to rain on Wednesday night. Check back on the forecast on that. This is the WGXC Renewable Weather Report.